Blog Talk Radio.
Monet, your left foot.
Whoa!
Get the deal.
Another day.
Dabadini.
I take your pain away. Some people talk about you like they know all about you. When you get down, they doubt you. And when you dip it on the scene, yeah, they talking about it. Cause they can't tip on the scene. What you talk about?
Name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, and warner in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Thank you, family. Thank you, and welcome back to Conscious Black Nation, where we're talking about the fall of America, and who better to bring it to us than our beloved brother from St. Louis, Missouri, and he is the owner and founder of Kareem Construction, and he does so many things, but more than anything, he is a true brother. He is a true friend. He's the epitome of an FOI. He's a diamond amongst men, and he is my brother and my right-hand man right here on Nation Building Network, Brother Kareem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen Aziza. How are you this evening?
I'm blessed by Allah's grace and permission. I'm right here.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And you know that brother you was talking about, I'm going to see if I can go find him because he sounds like somebody I
all
might want
to
hang out.
All you have to do is look in the mirror. Go look in the mirror. That's all you got to do.
all praise is indeed due Almighty God Allah. Thank you. And I want to say welcome to everyone to this edition of Conscious Black Nation. But as always, I must open in the correct manner, and that is in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, who indeed came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and in the name of the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, indeed our divine reminder in our midst today. I again greet everyone with the greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum. And I want our panelists, and we're going to defer to our sister first, please. Sister, introduce yourself. Tell us your name. Tell us something about yourself. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
My name is Marita X, and from Canton, Ohio, a mother of 18-year-old that I've been homeschooling for the past 12 years. Humble servant of Allah, sister who loves the nation, who loves the minister, the messenger, and our people, and so thankful to be here tonight. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. All praise is due to Allah.
I'm sorry, Brother Kareem. I cannot let her get away with that. I'm so sorry. But
all right. Go ahead, Queen.
I can't let her get away with that. This is a beautiful, beautiful spirited sister who is a newly recited sister. She just got her ex not too long ago. I know she recited yesterday. So you know what they say, when you get a brother, you get an individual, but when you get a sister, you get a nation. Welcome home and congratulations, dear Sister Marita. Yeah, I couldn't let her get away with that. Really?
Thank you, Queen. Thank you, Queen. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I would like for our other panelists, please introduce yourself, brother. Tell us something about yourself. Did we lose Brother Billy?
Yeah, I'm trying to get him back now.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Okay, well, when you do, let us know. Our topic tonight is the fall of America. And, yes, it is taken from that mighty, mighty book, The Fall of America, by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. However, those who know what we do here at Nation Building Movement on the Nation Building Network, particularly here on Conscious Black Nation, is the idea of not preaching, but teaching. But
7, 4, 8, 8, 3.
Presenting the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in such fashion that in any individual who experiences these teachings can take away something that they can use in a practical manner in their everyday life. Because ultimately, no matter what we study, no matter what we or information we're receiving, if we're not able to apply it in our everyday life, in a practical manner, then it's useless to us. And so, everybody that knows me knows I don't waste any time. We're going to start out, and we always start out by laying a scriptural base for our topic. We're going to go first to the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed shaitan or devil. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are in Surah or Chapter 7, entitled The Elevated Places, starting with Ayat or Verse 34, in where Allah states, "And every nation has a turn, so when its turn comes, they cannot remain behind the least while, nor can they proceed it. O children of Adam, if messengers come to you from among you relating to you my messages, then whosoever guards against evil and acts aright, they shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve. And those who reject our messages and turn away from them heartily, these are the companions of the fire. They shall abide in it." Secondly, Surah or Chapter 75, entitled Al-Qiyamah, The Resurrection, starting with Ayat or Verse 5, wherein Allah states, "Nay, man desires to go on doing evil in front of him. He asks, when is the day of resurrection? So when the sight is confused, and the moon becomes dark, and the sun and the moon are brought together, man will say on that day, whither to flee? No, there is no refuge. With thy Lord on that day is the place of rest. Man will that day be informed of what he sent before and what he put off. Nay, man is evidence against himself, though he put up excuses." Subhanallah, surely Allah speaks the truth. Secondly, we want to go to the Bible, Book of Proverbs, Chapter 31, wherein it states, starting in the first verse, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." And finally, the Book of Revelations, Chapter 14, starting in verse 6, wherein it states, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Okay. So do we have Brother Billy back yet, Queen Aziza?
No, sir. I think his phone died. It's just going straight to voicemail. So maybe he'll call us back. I did leave him a message for him to have the call back number, call in number.
Yes, ma'am. All praises to Allah. Well, Allah is indeed the best knower. So we're going to move forward with our topic, which is, again, the fall of America. Now, just to preface it, I know that the majority of the time when individuals, when we talk about the fall of America or we think about the fall of America, we think in terms of the ruling body of America, the Caucasians, or what we call the white power structure. We will be talking about that. We'll be discussing that. But we are more interested at this point in time in what the fall of America means to us as a people, how we are being affected, not going to be affected, but how we are being affected, and how during this time, what we must do, what are the instructions given that will allow us to survive this time and even thrive in this time to move forward, because that's what's important. They told me charity begins at home. Now, in order to do that, and in order to, we're going to the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it's chapter 14 of the book, The Fall of America. It's maybe 3 to 4 pages long. Please bear with me. However, I know that you will see the relevance of what I'm about to share. Chapter 14, it begins on page 59. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, every nation has a term, and every nation has a term, so when its term comes, they cannot remain behind the least while, nor can they precede it. Holy Quran, chapter 7, verse 34. There was a term for the people of Noah, Lot, and Moses. This also holds true in the life and death of individuals. All is under the control of Almighty Allah, especially when a divine beginning and ending has been appointed for the accomplishment of a certain work that must be done by the life or the life of peoples. The above chapter and verse of the Holy Quran is a warning to the present nation whose term is now coming to an end. If we know what is said to us and what is written by the prophets for us to read, study and ponder over, and if we understand, we should not fall victims to the misunderstanding and disbelief. The trouble with the black man in America is that he is heedless of the truth, for he was reared by slave foster parents who were his enemy, the white race. They caused him to become heedless. It was the intention of the enemy to make the black man an enemy to the truth, as he himself was and is. This enemy was successful in doing, for the aboriginal black man in America is referred to as being blind, deaf, and dumb, and in many instances as dead. This is the work of the enemy. Therefore, it took one who is our friend and not our enemy to do good to us and restore us to life mentally. The children of the fathers, slave masters, who took our life mental, are working just as faithfully as their fathers did. However, since 100 years have elapsed from the time of their slave fathers, the children are wiser and educated more in methods to keep the aboriginal black man in America blind, deaf, and dumb. In the days of servitude slavery of our grandparents, the white slave master did not even give them good food. Today, you can buy good food if you have the money. However, much of it is poisoned by chemicals used. The slave master would offer a piece of fried chicken and a biscuit with a little butter on it to a so-called Negro as an inducement for him to teach or preach what the slave master wanted him to the other slaves on Sunday morning. The slaves did not have the theology of the scriptures, and he made his other brothers spiritually blind, deaf, and dumb. The same goes for the preachers of today. As you can see, they preach for a reward from both white and black. I have tried them for many years. They are as their fathers were. They desire the exaltation of the white man. They want him to give them better positions, and they will offer to cut off the heads of their black brothers if it will please master. Although I live in a neighborhood with white neighbors, I do so for the purpose of proving that I can live in their neighborhood just as cleanly and noiselessly as they do. White people do not like you to come into their neighborhood, jumping on them and licking them in the mouth like a puppy. They do not want their friends to think that they are taking you for an equal. He will talk to you as a friend when he is not in the presence of members of his society. They do not like you coming into the block, beating your wife or girlfriend, and drinking in front of their houses. No decent and intelligent person likes this, whether he is white as snow or black as the ace of spades. You can go to the jungle, and the pygmy will not want this. Late at night, he and a gang of monkeys will come out and beat you up. The American so-called Negro has been made out of himself and kind by the white Americans. He must now be reformed. In fact, God has promised him a new body. The Bible and the Holy Quran teach us that we will be a new people altogether. He was destroyed and acts ignorant and foolish. He is not aware of his ignorant actions because he has become a part of ignorance. Now, the end of the term which was set for the white man has come. The average so-called Negro, the lost found member of the black nation, does not know that this is the end of the world of the white man, his rule over the black nation. He will not listen to one of his own kind who tells or teaches him of the time and doom of the world that we have known, white man's world. They offer high positions and money to the so-called Negro intellectual politicians who will work against the good of the black American people. They will accept such gratuity, for they have been deprived of love for self and kind. What do they care about the millions who are sprawled in the mud of civilization? They are content as long as they eat the buttered biscuit and the fried chicken as their slave fathers did. You would not think that they would hire themselves out to be stool pigeons. White man's bootlickers and Uncle Toms in these modern times of advanced education, but they are doing just that. They do not want the praise and exaltation of God and their own black people. They want it from the slave master's children. The slave master's children will give it to them as long as they reject themselves and kind and worship and exalt the white people. The white man is very clever in making a public fool of the black man. They show the brown, yellow, and red man what a good job they have done on the black man in America and throughout the earth. He is doing what nature bids him to do. I do not blame the white man anymore for making fools of our people. It is the nature of the white man to make a fool of our people. But it is not the nature of our people to allow him to make a fool of us. But when you have been given the knowledge of yourself, the nature in which God created you, and you still allow the enemy to make a fool of you, then you do not have the sympathy of God and the righteous, not after knowledge. The divine term that was given to the white race to allow them to make a fool of the black man and rule him with tricks is now up. The devil with his tricks must be removed. He was given the chance to deceive you with his technology, and therefore God will not hinder the devil from tricking you if he can. This is written in the Holy Quran, chapter 7. But God promised hellfire to both the devil and his followers, whom he can get from the black nation. Therefore, you and I, after knowledge of the devil, his tricks, and his term, should not blame anyone but ourselves if we allow the devil to trick us. Well, that is the job of the devil. It is his nature. We blame ourselves and not the enemy. You lust for his half-nude women and thirst for whiskey and beer. You desire gambling, robbing, and killing each other for the personal property of others. This is the work of the devil upon you. You do not have to allow him to cause you to live such a life. Do not blame them. Blame your foolish self. It has always been the policy of the white man to use a black man against a black man, especially leaders. Look at history. See how he has deceived and killed off the black leaders of foreign lands, and then they took over themselves. This should be a lesson for you and me. We the Muslims have watched our people who have come among us as eyes and ears, stool pigeons for white folks. When they have become converted to the truth and joined us, they confess that they are ashamed that they have worked against us for the sake of a few perishable dollars, pardon me. We know that the white man is our enemy, and wherever we are, he offers some silly so-called Negro a higher office and a hire to work against us Muslims, the righteous, or any so-called Negro, whether he be, now listen to this, he says, or any so-called Negro, whether he be a Baptist, Methodist, Holy Roller, or sanctified, some lazy so-called Negro will work against him for the white man. It is a shame in such modern times to see black politicians and preachers accepting positions to work against their own black people for a few dollars from a race whose time has come to an end. We are justified in taking it if the white man gave us $1 billion or $100 billion. We deserve it, but we are not justified to sell our lives for such a gift in this day and time. Declare yourself a Muslim and see how much the devil will give you. He would say, we will give it to you if you preach that we are not the devil. We would answer, that is just the same as saying, if you do not teach the truth of me so that I can continue to deceive the world of your kind, I will help you. Remember what the Bible teaches us that Satan said to Jesus, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Matthew 4:9. And he showed him the kingdoms of the world. Perhaps you will be offered the world of the wicked pretty soon. If so, the Bible says, what profit a man if he gain the world and lose his own life, soul? This is a warning to the preachers. The little money with its dying value will not help you against God's aims and purpose of the resurrection of the dead, lost, found members of the Aboriginal nation. You will lose your lives for so doing, and you should, or you cause innocent ones who are blind, deaf, and dumb to go to hell with yourself and the enemy. Allah God came forth in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever, the Son of Man, as it is written, seeking to save that which was lost and to restore again that which had gone astray. He said to me that he would eat rattlesnakes to save our lives, and that he would walk 40 miles up a mountain to teach just one in order to save his life in exchange for our safety and return to our own. I have taken him for my God and my Savior. I advise you to do the same, regardless of the offers of money, which is fast becoming worthless. Jesus refused the money and dwelt upon the truth that is written that we must not worship Satan. Satan's place is behind us and not in front of us. It is the nature of Satan to try and deceive the very angels in heaven, not to think of the fools who are in his hell. In the Bible, Revelations, it is written that you would accept the enemy and go down in a lake of fire with him. After that, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad quotes many passages from the Quran and the Bible that you should read. My suggestion is, because we're getting ready to roll on with this program, that you get a copy of The Fall of America by Elijah Muhammad and read it for yourself. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you for listening. Now, we're in the roll. And Sister Marita.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to come to you with our first question. From what you know, from the evidence that you see around you, what is the fall of America?
For my people, it would have to be acceptance of the white man.
Ma'am?
I'm sorry, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can. I can hear you now.
Okay. I would have to say from our people, it would have to be acceptance from the white race, whether it's from jobs or education, just in society, just in general. So many different things that I see, you know, from my neighborhood to the grocery stores, you know, talking to other parents. And it's evident that we are so quick to accept things that are not, you know, it's easy to swallow, to deal with the lie and swallow the truth. And it's just evident that it's just getting worse among us. You know, we're in a state of denial, and it's not getting any better. It's getting worse day by day.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. But that's absolutely correct. And is Brother Billy back with us?
No, sir. I don't know what happened to him, but you have some questions on the line already.
Okay, well, we'll open up the lines then. Let's go right ahead.
Okay, we're going to take a call from your neck of the woods, Brother Kareem, St. Louis, last four numbers, 3210. Your mic is now live. Last four numbers, 3210. Your mic is live. Okay, maybe they didn't want to say anything. Okay, area code 920. Your mic is now live. Area code 920. Okay, I couldn't hear what they were saying, Brother Kareem. And we have questions in the chat room, so I don't know if you want to take questions now or wait.
We can take one or two questions from the chat room right now. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, Joel says, how can we change anything if we own nothing and fail to unite as a people?
All praises to Allah. That's a very good question. And I will answer that by saying, bottom line is, we can't change anything if we don't own anything. However, that is the purpose of, and that's what the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad give us. In the book Message to the Black Man, if you will get that book, or you can even read it online at a website called Seventh Fam, okay? They have the entire book, all the Messenger's books, as a matter of fact, online. But in that book, if you will start on page 161 in the section entitled Program and Position, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, giving instructions directly from God himself, lays out the plan of how we are to acquire the necessary power to make changes. But the thing is, we have to understand this. See, we're not going to change America as we know it. It's already been prophesied scripturally, and we see it coming down now. The prophecy is being fulfilled, has been for years. This world, this system of government, this system of doing things is destined to die. Marvin Gaye said it best in the song Save the Children. He said, who's willing to save a world which is destined to die? See, if it's destined to die, you can't save it. God has already said it's out of here. However, what we can do is get ourselves in line with God and what God's purpose is, what the good purpose is, what a intelligent purpose is. And we can begin to build a new world right while this old one is falling. So, But we're going to get into that more in depth further in the broadcast. Thank you very much for your question. And we'll take one more, then we're going to move forward.
Okay, Lauren says, blacks feel that they are the only ones oppressed. It is not about black and white, but more about political power and the money to buy it. Oh, well.
Well.
Okay. Oh, well.
You know what? Before I say anything, because, you know, I'm all about balance, Sister Marita X, would you like to field that question first?
You know what, brother? I'm gonna pass on this one. I got it.
Uh-huh.
I gotta pass on this one because I'm just, yeah. I gotta pass on this question. I'll let you answer because what I really want to say right about now, I'm in my emotions, and you know they need an intelligent answer right about now. So, brother, I'm just gonna let you answer.
Did you want to weigh in on that?
Yes, sir. First of all, I would tell Lauren that, you know what? In actuality, she is absolutely right. Because white people, the powers that be, will mistreat, incarcerate, and oppress their own for the dollar. That is absolutely correct. However, and I put a capital H on however, you have to understand the nature of things and that you might be amongst that rare percentage of people who might be oblivious to color, and you're able to see America in its true form. But your people, and this is not a prejudice statement, have created an atmosphere from which you have more of a leeway to benefit from it than I do or other people of color. And you know, I'm not going to ever apologize for my statements when it regards race or ethnicity. I would never do that because black people don't have anything to apologize for when it comes to the structure of America. We don't have anything to apologize for. We built this country, and we are still second-class citizens here in America. And if you want to see the history of your people, Lauren, then you don't have to even start here in America. You can go all over the world, touch every continent, and see that the practices that they have used to conquer and steal the land, they have murdered. You know, they have stolen the riches. They have used up the resources. They have created wars to dominate other countries. This is the nature that is within the particular people that create the policies that govern America. And if white people in America see the injustice and they want to be oblivious to ethnicity and race, then why aren't white people protesting against the governmental practices that they have used all over the world? White people don't protest until it hits their yard. They don't protest until it hits their pocket. Mm-hmm. But this is the oppression and the pain that we have been suffering ever since we've been here, almost 500 years, not to mention all over the earth. other people of color have suffered at the hands of this European oppressor. Look at the Native Americans today who once roamed this land freely, who did not abuse its resources, and you have the audacity to put them on a reservation. How did that come into be? And then they have the nerve to call everybody else that comes over here a foreigner. That is a takeover. So maybe you don't understand. Maybe you are amongst that percentage of white people who fall in the poverty line, but you still have not suffered what our people have suffered. You might be financially oppressed, but you're not spiritually oppressed, I'm sure. You're not socially oppressed. You know, you have not had your culture and your language and your religion stripped away from you. You have not had your identity misplaced and stolen. So whatever problems that you have politically, then get with others that think like you and protest against the policies of America that oppress all people of color. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. All praises due to Allah. Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And, I mean, from what you just said, there's really nothing for me to add to that because that is the answer. That is the answer. I mean,
yes,
the only
sir.
Thing
and,
I would say brother, is, yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The only thing I would say is this. You mentioned politics and the money to buy political power. If you look at the state of this nation, I'm gonna use one thing, for example, which they quote-unquote, they got Obama's face and Obama's name on it. However, this money that you talk about and this political power, I mean, if the money has so much value, why is it devalued all over the world? Why there's so many nations now that won't even accept euros or the American dollar for payment for their goods and services? Why does China own so much of the real estate debt? When we talk about money, see, again, like I say, get you a copy of The Fall of America. Read the section entitled The Decline of the Dollar. You know, just check it out. The other thing is about the politics. Right here, the politicians, and this is what I was talking about when I say they put Obama's name on it, the politicians, quote unquote, have passed a law, just as they do with everything else when they want to generate some more money. They want to generate some more income. They've passed a law that says that you have to have quote-unquote health insurance, and that if you don't, they're going to penalize you via taxes. They've even told the people that's on a fixed income that they got to have it. And if they can't afford to pay for it, that's all right. They're going to take it out of their little Social Security check or whatever it is. So the thing is, I hope that the answer, like I said, because there's not a lot else I can say, I hope the answer that Queen Aziza gave causes some thought. All right, so we're going to move quickly and move forward. And I'm coming back to you, Sister Marita.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Our second question for tonight is, how do we know America is falling?
Excuse me. How do we know that America is falling? Oh. It's the person as it is, just look at the news. I really don't like watching the news, but it's, you know, it's necessary to watch. We have to watch it. to keep up with current events and everything. But if you've been, I mean, unless you've been living up under a rock for a past year and haven't been, you know, in America to see how, even all over the world, what's how the weather is, you know. And it's been prophesied how God will use weather against us. You know, when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he did the series on the time of what must be done, I was watching a couple months ago one of the lectures that was pretty much around about the same time as last year, and where he pretty much predicted that, you know, the upcoming winter would be the worst winter we've ever seen. You know, and I read somewhere that but this winter alone, with all the storms that we've had, all the winter storms that we've had, there's been at least 38 different names for each storm, for each winter storm, you know. And just to know that this is just the tip of the iceberg, and to know that it can be much, much worse, you know. And Allah has shown us that, you know, the mistreatment of our people, of black people, is not going to be tolerated anymore. So, like I said, unless you've been living up under a rock and just don't have a clue, but, you know, we have the weather. We have, you know, they say the unemployment rate has gotten better. I don't see it. I live, you know, in Stark County, and I see the programs that, you know, that are for displaced workers and everything, the funding, the dollars that they're getting cut left and right, programs that are supposed to be able to help families to become stable, to get up on their feet, to be able to have a decent home, to be able, you know, just to keep a simple roof over their heads. You know, the programs that are, you know, that were out there that have existed for years, they're not gone, you know. Even with in our neighborhood, we've had 3 school lockdowns within the past 2 months. And one of them was at Kent State. And pretty much everybody was like, oh, gosh, here we go. This is deja vu, you know, from years ago, from the shootings at Kent State. And it's just, it's rapidly declining every single day. And like I said, all you have to do is just look at the news, read the newspaper, whether it's newspaper, online, you know, it just, you can see it all around you, even with the food prices. You know, everything is gone up. You know, my grandmother, you know, she would always send me to the local, you know, local store, and she would give me like a certain amount of money to buy, you know, certain things on her list. And at that time, you used to be able to buy, you know, 4 loaves of bread for a dollar. Now, you can barely buy a loaf of bread for a dollar. So it just goes to show that, you know, with how much time has changed. And like you said, you know, the value of the American dollar is just not worth anything. With food prices going up, you know, we're seeing more diseases, health-wise. I mean, it's just gotten so bad to where, you know, things that didn't exist years ago for African-Americans, for blacks, I don't want to say African-Americans, for blacks, you know, is rampant now, you know, such as diabetes. I haven't seen so many people, young people, on dialysis, you know, on kidney transplant lists. You know, so it's just so many different things that are going on that are causing, you know, major concerns. And it should be able to, you know, it should be an eye-opener for us. You know, but, you know, for some, you know, it's not. But for those who, you know, who pay attention to it, you know, let it be a lesson. because tomorrow's not promised to none of us. Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. Absolutely. Queen Aziza, I know you there.
Yes, sir. I'm here. What I do?
Oh, well, you just there? I know you out there handling the business. However, since it's just us three on the phone, I'm going to come to you with the same question. In your view, the things you see, what you experience, particularly dealing with our youth, how do we know America is falling?
Well, I don't think nobody want to know the horror that I see on a daily basis, but I will share this. When you start to lose your moral authority, when there's no respect for self, when there's no respect for our seniors, our elders, when there is no respect for your children, and when we continue to kill one another at an astronomical rate, when we cannot look in the faces of those that look like us and see a human being, and see a brother, and see a sister, when we run from, or are afraid of, or are intimidated by our open enemy who has oppressed us, and as we continue to fall and sink into this hole, even though this generation is the most educated generation that we've ever had, we got all this book sense, but we have no morality. And so America has fallen, and Allah has to come to rectify all of the hurt and the bitterness and the damage that has been done. We are cold at heart. We are walking around with blinders on. We are poor. We are ununified. And this is the reality. And we have the poor righteous teachers who are out there trying to teach to the masses, but we don't know what's in the heart of the masses. But if you want a demonstration, then cut on your news and hear about the babies that are getting killed in the street, and hear about how 40% of our children, of our black boys and girls, are either incarcerated or on probation. 40%. We only 13% of the population. There's over 2.2 million black people incarcerated in jails and prisons in America, more than any other race. And so how do you know that America is falling? Then just look at the economic situations. There are no jobs. There are no federal funding programs. You go into the grocery stores now, fruits and vegetables are scarce. They are using genetically modified organisms to create food because the land is so destroyed, and those that know how to cultivate the land and grow the food don't get the opportunity to restore the land, to plant healthy food. So there are so many things. When your country is so broke that they create war to generate money, when your country is so crooked that people who have worked on their jobs 30 and 40 years, their Social Security, retirement, and pension is gone because you trusted your federal government to handle your monies, and they're gone. So what do? They increase the age of retirement so that they can string you along, hoping you die on the job and you won't call that claim in for your Social Security benefit. This is how you know America has fallen. And with so many other things, but the moral fiber that is supposed to be in man that sets good policy for all has diminished, has evaporated. So now you look to a government that don't care nothing about you. You go to a church that can't give you any direction about the moral code that you're supposed to be operating on, because your preacher gets up and tells you that homosexual marriage is okay, all at the same time holding the King James Version of the Bible that said God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but he tells you it's okay. This is how you know. When you see fathers throwing their babies in creeks and bayous strapped to a car seat, women starving their children, men walking up and down the street wanting to have sex with 4 and 5 year old children, that's how you know. And we're not going to even talk about the racial divide and the judicial system and laws that have affected us so greatly. We're not going to even go there, because it all comes back to morality. We don't have a moral code that we operate under anymore. And so Allah has to come. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Queen Aziza. Pardon me. For your response. And we're coming up on, pardon me, the top of the second hour. We're getting ready, you know, we got 3 minutes away from it. So I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way, because I promised myself that I would start doing it, and I'm gonna stick to it. This is Conscious Black Nation here on the Nation Building Network. And Conscious Black Nation has sponsors. So we're going to, as we say in radio language, you know, we're going to pay some bills right now. Conscious Black Nation is sponsored or brought to you by Kareem's Construction. Room additions, remodeling, new construction, roofing, plumbing, electrical, handyman services, and tile, as well as concrete. Remember, beauty is in the hands of the builder. You can contact Kareem's Construction at 314-651-1094. It's also brought to you by Amin Holistic Health Center. Remember, the thought is the act is the fact. From Amin Holistic Health Center, you can receive guidance in the following: better health through nutrition, success through faith and works, spiritual progress, conquering addiction, aromatherapy and herbology, never getting sick again. You can contact Amin Holistic Health Center at 314-616-2060. And finally, but not least, Master Pizza. That's MasterPiza at 2846 Cherokee Street on the south side of St. Louis. Go in and have your own personal gourmet pizza created fresh, on hand, from fresh ingredients, pure ingredients. Master Pizza, creating a healthier community from scratch. All right, now moving on forward. We're discussing the fall of America. And I went to Merriam-Webster and I looked up the word fall. And this is how it defined the word fall: to descend freely by the force of gravity, to drop oneself to a lower position, to become born, to leave an erect position suddenly and involuntarily, to drop down wounded or dead, to suffer military capture, to lose office or power, to suffer ruin, defeat, or failure. Now, with that in mind, again, we are discussing the fall of America. And I want individuals to understand that it's not that we, particularly as Muslims, are sitting around saying to God, I know I'm not, you know, oh Allah, destroy this country, destroy this nation. I was born here. I live here. I have benefited from being here in America and yet do. However, those conditions that Sister Marita talked about and that Queen Aziza just got through talking about, I see those conditions every day. So my personal success, that's fine. My personal comfort, that's fine. However, when I walk out here and I have to live and see the utter despair and the condition that the majority of my people and many people of all types or all races, I'm going to say it like that, are suffering from, I mean, that doesn't make me happy. That doesn't make me proud. Again, these things are evidence that America indeed has fallen. You know, I mean, how could this country, I'm going to say of ours, I'm going to say it like that, because like I said, I live here. How could this country of ours have so many homeless people? Just think of the homeless people that are out there. And I drive through the city and I see literally hundreds of buildings, and I'm in construction, so I see hundreds of buildings that it would take really a little or nothing to get them up and provide housing for the many homeless people. Yet I turn around and I see the police officers who are supposed to be there to serve and protect harassing the same people. I don't see them going after individuals I know are criminals. And I know if I know it and I can see it, then they should know it. But they're harassing homeless people. Or they're harassing people who really have no knowledge of self. As Queen Aziza mentioned, they don't have the moral fortitude. But now on that note, I'm coming to you, Sister Marita. You still with us?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, again, we are discussing the fall of America. And so we, and like I said, we want on this program, on this broadcast, the idea is eventually that at some point we want to begin to give solutions, not just talk about the detrimental things, but we want to give people or provide solutions to surviving this time. But our third question here is this. All the things that we have discussed, the information that we have, what does this mean for white America, the fall of America?
What it means for them.
Look, you don't have to bite your tongue here. This is, you don't have to bite your tongue. It was on your mind and on your heart.
You know, well, I'm so glad that you said that, because I'm sorry at this moment. That's not none of my concern. We got, you know, so much work to do with our own people, you know. You know, it is what it is with them. You know, they think that there's nothing going on, there's nothing wrong in the world, you know. They're pretty much, you know, like you said, you know, they're walking around with blinders on, you know. Some of them, you know, you got some of them that are aware, but, you know, they're always classified as paranoid or whatever. you know, and, you know, there's those few out there who, you know, who see what's going on, but that's really not any of my concerns. I'm so worried about our people. We got so much work to do with us, to I don't have time or the energy to worry about them. I'm just being honest.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. The Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
After you answer this question, we're gonna take some more questions.
Okay.
Again, I'm asking you, in your view, you know, all the things
we've discussed,
and since our topic is the fall of America, what does this mean for white America?
Well, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has so taught us, every nation has its turn.
Mm-hmm.
And as the America that we know of and that we've known of, it's going to come to an end. And when we say that, I don't want people to get spooky on me. The way that we operate as a people, black people, white people, brown people, yellow people, red people, all of us, the way that we act as a people, those things that we have become familiar with, are going to go away. Don't quote me. I don't know where it said in the Bible, but it says that, just say, I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
Oh, yeah.
And so
there's
going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we're not talking about somewhere up in the sky. But in order for that to happen, it says Allah comes and he makes all things new. And so we cannot continue. And you can see, bear witness to how things are changing, even something as simple as the weather, that Allah is coming. There are some things that are going to be changing. Politics as we know it is going to go away. Education as we know it is going to go away. How we are allowed to conduct ourselves and the penalty for disobedience is going to be swift because God has come. So, you know, as for white people, they have a price to pay. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us 58 precious weeks of the time and what must be done. That message was not for the Nation of Islam alone. Those messages were for the world. And he oftentimes directed certain parts of those messages to, the Caucasian people of the world, those who have been in the position of power and who have manipulated and misused that power. They also have to answer to the God. So for those of us who know that Allah is real, there's going to be a change and there's going to be a mighty chastisement. But don't think that the white folks is going down all by themselves. Okay? So that chastisement from Allah, that wrath from Allah, is for all of us who refuse to submit our will to do his will. It's for all of us. So the white man doesn't escape it, and neither do we. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum.
And you are absolutely 100% correct. And what you were talking about is in the book of Revelation. It is actually the beginning of chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, wherein it states, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And that's where you will find that, the new heaven and the new earth. And what you were just talking about, right here, again, if we're studying, if we're watching, if we're looking and listening, you see scripture walking and talking right now. See, the things that are here in the scripture, in the Bible, and in the Quran, you see them being manifested right now. What you just said about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in his 58-week lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done, and when he began to direct parts of it, particularly to other individuals besides just us, it's right here. We read it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6 of Revelations 14, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now, I don't know if an individual can relate that. However, that's what brother has done and continues to do. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taken this teaching to every nook and cranny throughout the planet, because that's what the scripture says. It said that the final destruction wouldn't come until the word, till everybody had heard the word and was able to make a decision on what direction they would go in. And you're absolutely correct about the change. We all must change. But now we're going to go, we're going to take any questions that are on the phone, any questions that are in the chat room. Pardon me.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines. Area code 415, if you have a question or comment, your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Oh, this is a wonderful panel. I've been listening to your calls, I think, for a few months now. And I try to make it online when I get the notifications on Facebook. So I really enjoy you all. That's just the first thing I wanted to open up with. I pressed the button in response to the question with regard to the Caucasian because of the timing. I am living in one of the maybe last 15 or so year regentrified black, predominantly black neighborhoods. And just maybe a few days ago, I was having a conversation with someone about how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, if you don't think about white people, they don't exist. And it really helped me to understand why they begin to get nearness to us. And so in the wise ones of them, it is important to understand what all this means for them, because strategically they are planners. Allah plans, he's the best of planners, but there's a lot of planners. And so here they come into our neighborhoods. And, you know, I used this, when this first began, I thought it was just to take over this neighborhood because it's really a beautiful neighborhood. But looking more deeply into the teaching, it really seems more like they want to make sure that black people don't forget that white people exist. Because the more we forget they exist, the more we start looking to one another, the more that we begin to depend upon one another. And since the number one problem in the earth is the black man and woman of America, well, his strategy has to be he ups his game. He is notorious for upping his game. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we cannot fathom the depth of his wickedness and his evil. And so we may see his, and actually what I was thinking too in terms of the scripture tells us also that his final destruction, his end, it comes when things are looking pretty good. And so I was thinking about when the Honorable Elijah, when Minister Farrakhan leaves, you know, this man is going to have to try to make himself look like he really is not so bad. And maybe, you know, he may start lavishing the black man and woman with, you know, land, with help all of a sudden, just like with the 60s, you know, when black people were looking to the nation, when black people started saying black power and wearing afros and really started looking at, wait a minute, yes, I'm black and I'm proud. Well, now all of a sudden, here comes white people really helping, really pouring into the so-called black movement. But what do you have? White people getting us to soften up to them, getting us to look at them again, getting us to what? Think about them. But we have to stop thinking about them because their destiny is that they're not going to exist. So I just, you know, was thinking about that. And then you asked the question, so I had to press the one.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. Well, we thank you. And who are you, sister?
My name is Sister Nisi out of San Francisco. Allah,
Allah. All
praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Walaikum salam. We're glad to have you.
Walaikum
salam. Glad for your comment. Comes right on point.
Okay, you ready for...
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready. You ready?
Okay.
We ready.
Jocelyn says, what do Muslims have that Christians don't? Talk about unity. Well, if you hate the church, how will you unite? Okay, I'm going to mute my phone.
Yes, you don't have to mute your phone. I'm going to go ahead and feel
that. Oh, yeah, brother, I need to mute my phone. Trust and believe me, I need to mute my phone.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to
I'll let you go first. I'll go last.
I'm going to go ahead. First of all, Sister Jocelyn, we as Muslims do not hate the church. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, he made a statement. He said to us, and I quote, that a good Muslim is a Christian, and that a good Christian is a Muslim. Mm-hmm. We can't let labels divide us. We as Muslims do not hate the church. We do not hate our brothers and sisters, we don't hate anyone who is striving to live a life after that which is the life of Christ, as described in what we know as the Bible. See, I myself was born and raised in Islam. And I have been studying the Bible, and the Bible is one of the main books that I use myself in my daily walk. We do not hate the church. The thing is this. Anytime you have an institution, and that institution claims to go by a particular set of instructions, and the church in particular, now we're talking about the Bible, and then the leadership within that institution begins to practice things which are diametrically opposed to the instructions of the one that you say is your leader, there is a problem. And it was mentioned earlier, I'm going to use this as the best example and the starkest example, because it's the one that's right out in front of us right now every day. And I'm going to say this right now. No, I am not homophobic. I don't fear people who are homosexual. There's nothing for me to fear. However, I do fear for them and the consequences of what is happening and will happen to them based upon what God says in the scripture. I mean, how can we say, and I'm going to be very plain, because it's not just happening in the church. This is happening, oh my goodness, in some mosques too, my God, that show you what the situation is. But individuals plainly and clearly in the scriptures of God, Bible and Holy Quran, God states himself that how strongly he disapproves of homosexual activity. That's man on man, woman on woman. However, you got individuals who are standing up as leaders in these quote-unquote institutions of righteousness saying that it's okay, it's all right, you can do that. Well, wait a minute. It, since God said it's wrong, how are we going to say it's right?
Right.
That doesn't jive. So it's not that we hate the church. The thing is that we all, as believers and servants of Almighty God, have to, as the Bible tells us, study to show ourselves approved. And then based on that study, we have to be willing to challenge anything that's wrong, even in the institution, even in the place where we go or we say we worship at. See, I couldn't possibly, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to move on and to our panelists, to our guests on the phone. See, I couldn't possibly hate the church myself personally. One of the reasons I'm going to share with you is right here in St. Louis. Yeah, I'll put them on blast because they're doing a wonderful work. They're called Friendly Temple Missionary Baptist Church. They started out as one of them little storefront churches. However, now they own most of the neighborhood where the church is. They have commercial property. They've even reopened one of the schools that was closed in the neighborhood. And they've built brand new homes for the people in the neighborhood to live in. Affordable housing. The area where they're at, there's still a little activity every now and then, but they've actually cleaned it up. It used to be full of folks using dope and prostitution going on. Now, like I said, of course, people are going to do what they do. They don't have anybody out there necessarily patrolling day and night. However, their presence in the area has drastically reduced that activity. I mean, now here's a church that is actually implementing Muhammad's program. So, no, we don't hate the church. As a matter of fact, we must unite. We must work together. Now, I'm going to come to Sister Marita.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. How would you respond to our sister?
Just to, you know, expound a little bit on, you know, what you said, you know, with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, what he was saying, you know, every good Christian is a good Muslim. And, you know, because a Muslim is one who submits his will to do the will of Allah. And a Christian is one who crystallizes into the oneness of God. And, you know, it's through the example of Jesus Christ, you know, and that's how Muslims and Christians should live anyway. You know, he is our example, you know. And Jesus Christ submitted to, he submitted totally to God. So did Muhammad. And they're just like two examples of how we can become one with God, one with each other through our obedience and through submission to the will of God. And we don't hate churches, you know. We don't hate Christians. If, you know, we have so much that we can, you know, learn from each other, you know. And we're not about that, you know. And one thing that I can say for myself of what, I mean, about what Muslims have that Christians don't, I can only say, speak for myself, but personally I have a peace of mind. That's what Islam is. It's a religion of peace. And when you have a peace of mind, that means more to you than anything in the world, you know. And it's not about hatred, you know. We don't have time for that. There's so much to do, you know. And we're not at that kumbaya state. Because first we got to, you know, first we got to love ourselves and love our own, you know. But to say that we hate churches, no, we don't. No. Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you very much. Well, Queen Azizi, you ready to come off mute?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I want to say. You know, if we have given the impression, first of all, if we have given the impression in anything that we've communicated that we hate the church, then first allow me to extend my apologies, because certainly that is not the intention. So I don't know where you draw that conclusion from, but if it's anything that we've said, then allow me to issue a point of correction, as Brother Kareem has done. We do not hate the church, but I'm going to tell you what I hate about the church. I hate when preachers get up and justify immoral behavior. I hate that about the church. I hate that a lot of our clergymen are not teaching on the judgment and preparing the people. I hate that about the church. I hate that when they get up and they lie on the Honorable Miss Louis Farrakhan and then deny you the truth about Jesus and about heaven and about salvation. I hate that about the church. So there are some doctrines and some policies that go on in the church, like from, and I don't know, I'm not talking about any particular church, Catholic, Lutheran, whatever, Catholic, whatever, but I'm just saying, in the Catholic Church in particularly, I don't understand. I can't fathom, can't wrap my mind around the fact why you have priests that are raising babies and ain't nobody going to jail. I got a problem with that. I got a problem with that. I got a problem when you bend little boys over at the altar in the name of Jesus and sexually molest them. I got a problem with that. I got a problem when you kill, maim, destroy people in the name of Jesus. I got a problem with that. So the misrepresentation of what church is supposed to be, yes, I got a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the church, the brick, the four walls, the floors, the pews. I ain't got no problem with that. I have a problem with a lot of things that go on in the church, and it's not all churches, and it's not all pastors and ministers and rabbis and priests. It's not everybody. But there is a moral code that everybody should have to operate from, regardless of what you title yourself. And this is the division that has been created between us that denies us the opportunity to come together. Here you are in the Christian church, you have the truth in the Bible that you say that you read, but you deny it because you allow someone to interpret that truth for you. It's nothing wrong with being a Christian. Being a Christian means that you are Christ-like. And if you are Christ-like, then how can I hate that? That's remotely untrue. You know, that's just totally just ludicrous. But what you do in the name of Jesus. Because, see, I got a problem with pastors telling people that, you know, it's okay, you know, for you to have your boyfriend in church. It's okay for you to be dating in church, and when there's premarital sex, there's no point of correction. There's no counsel. You know, there's nothing, and you allow the cycle to perpetuate and go on and on and on, and the next thing you know, you got a congregation of single mothers and screaming babies. I have a problem with that. Because the church is supposed to be the moral fiber of our communities, and there's no point of correction. Just like with the homosexuality. You're going to tell people that it's okay to marry someone of the same sex. You're going to tell somebody it's okay. You can come on in this church and you can be a praise dancer and you can arch your eyebrows and, you know, you can wear lip gloss as a man and you can come in here and shake it like a woman, whatever, and it's okay, and it's not. You are killing our people. So that part of the church, I hate. You got it. You right. But what the church is supposed to be about, shaping those people who are in attendance to be Christ-like, I love it. I love it. But when you start changing the rules, when you start going against what God says, then you're not a church. You're a building and a habitation of devils. And as cruel as that may sound, that's the truth.
That's right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, ma'am. That's right. Right. Anybody else want to weigh in on that?
Mm-hmm. She can drop the mic and walk away if she won't.
Bam!
The queen has spoken.
No, I just don't want people to misunderstand, seriously. Because, you know, when people get Islam, I pray that we present it in a way where it's attractive to people, that we show them love and we show them brotherhood and sisterhood. And if we identify something wrong in a particular institution, then it's for the betterment of our people. It's not for people to take it and twist it and say, oh, okay, we anti-Christian. You know, we're not anti-anything when it comes to our people except for anti-sin, you know. Yeah, we're against sin, you know, but we love all our people. I don't care what church you go to, because the nation of Islam is not contained in four walls. The nation of Islam is not in any particular mosque. The nation of Islam is the entire world. If you understand what a Muslim is one who submits his will to do the will of Allah. So if you're submitting your will to do the will of God, then whether you like it or not, or whether you know it or not, you are a Muslim. How can I be against that? But when you sit there and you know things are wrong and you participate and you uphold it, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with people who are in position of leadership and you are leading the people astray. I got a problem with that. I don't give a damn what your title is. I really don't. You call yourself pastor, rabbi, preacher, whatever. It don't matter. If you're wrong, you're wrong. But we love our people. And Islam is not just the buildings that you see that say mosque number 45, mosque number 25, you know, mosque number 76. It's not those buildings. It's about the spirit that dwells within a people that are coming after a people that are still lost in the wilderness of North America. And that is all we're trying to do. But we have to keep it 100 with you because we don't have that kind of time. Time for food feeding is over. It's over.
All right, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you got a question?
Comment?
Yeah, you got a question from Brother Darren. Yeah, I got a few people cussing me out in the chat room. That's cool. That's cool.
Okay.
I got it.
No. Give my phone number and my email and tell them come to me.
Right. Tell the truth and shame the devil.
No, it's okay. I mean, you know, if they think we anti-Christian, it's okay. They're entitled to think what they want. But Brother Darren says, what has been established to help us move from the current systematic ways of doing things to the hereafter? He says, are we as a people ready to run a nation? How do we even start if we still have to pay taxes and follow the laws of the land, et cetera, et cetera?
All praise is due to Allah. Very good question. Very timely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I will respond to that in this fashion. I love, you know what, I'm going to tell you something. I love the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I love Allah because Allah don't play. And nothing spooky about it. He just had me go and give something to share. and in answer to you, brother, you will find your answer. Pardon me. Well, it's in two places, but to get a more media answer, you'll find it in Message to the Black Man. It's still in programming position, but it's on page 180, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad goes in depth into the 12-point plan. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states this. He says, separate ourselves from the slave master. He says, pool our resources, education, and qualifications for self-independence. He says, stop forcing ourselves or our presence on or in places where we are not wanted or forbidden from. We need to make our own neighborhoods a decent place to live. We have to rid ourselves of the lust of wine and other intoxicating drinks. That includes cocaine, cigarettes, you name it. Anything that you're using to get intoxicated, we need to separate ourselves from that. And we need to unite and create whatever it is that we need for ourselves. We need to build our own homes, schools, hospitals, and factories. We also need to keep our blood pure and stop race mixing. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it means. All right? We need to stop wasting the money that comes to us. We need to spend our money among ourselves. I mean, in case you didn't know it, in most other communities, we're going to just deal with a dollar. When a dollar goes into the Korean community, into the Jewish community, into the Armenian community, all these other communities, and the Caucasian, when a dollar goes in there, that dollar circulates through that community at least 11 times before it exits that community. In our community, the black community, the dollar is gone back out of our community almost before it gets in there. So we have a program. We have a way of doing this. The way we do that is to implement it. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is wise. He told us to obey the law of the land. Why? Because America is a sovereign nation.
Mm-hmm.
So we are bound, duty-bound as Muslims to obey the law of the land. We are given an exception, except when it conflicts with our religion, which is Islam. See, I don't care what the law says. If it conflicts with the instructions of Almighty God, from His messenger, from the scripture, then I am duty-bound to disobey it. That's just the reality of it. You know, I'm not scared of the consequences. However, the laws that are in place, of course, we work within the law. Why? Because we serve a real God, and He is not going to allow us to lose. We can't lose. As long as we are following the instructions that have been given to us. The way that we build up a system, see, this system, that's why our topic, the fall of America tonight, this system is really already gone. That's why they're doing what they're doing. That's why they're struggling and scribbling. See, they're struggling to keep the blind blind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with everything that's going on, Queen Azizia just talked about it earlier. With all the things that are going on, all the things, how did the old folks say it? They robbing Peter to pay Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, at this point, they robbing Matthew to pay Paul and Peter. Because they have nothing. This is a, we are actually living in a dead carcass. And the only thing that's supporting this carcass is us and our belief in this. I'm not telling people to immediately tomorrow go in and come off your job. I'm not telling them. I would tell nobody that. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, he said, if you have a job, you thank Allah for that. And you go in and you give them a good day's work for a good day's pay. However, you're not supposed to stay there forever.
Mm-hmm.
You use that job. See, it's not an accident that job and Job are spelled the same way. But we don't have time to get into the depths of that. The point is, if we have a job, then we're supposed to be taking that income after we have paid our bills and supported ourselves and our family and made sure that all that's taking place. Then we are supposed to be taking a portion of that income. Yes, Muhammad's economic blueprint. That's one aspect. However, on a personal level, you should be taking some of that money and putting it together. Getting with people. I mean, for example, I know a brother who is at this point in time now teaching teenagers how to purchase real estate without a dime. See, that's what we have to do. If God has blessed us with information, if God has blessed us with the ability to do for self, then we need to be sharing that with one another. However, until individuals get to that point, those who are not at that level yet, then they need to be taking some of their resources, their financial resources, and putting it with those they can trust, those of a like mind, and helping to establish new institutions for this new world. That's how we do it. We do it by practicing the teachings and the program given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. These books are not just here just to quote from. We have to live by this. The books and the writings that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has produced come directly from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I've said it before and I'll say it again. And he's taking it like a mother bird. And he's chewed it up and digested it, all pre-digested it for us. And just like you see a mother bird, if you ever watch any of the nature program, while the bird is in the nest, she then takes the food that she already chewed up and pre-digested and then feeds it to the little baby. That's what he's done with the teachings for us. So we have no reason, no excuse to say we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we're not making progress is because we are so hard-headed, we refuse to submit and practice what we have. We're constantly looking for something new. I want to read a new book. I'm tired of hearing that. The only reason you're tired of hearing it is because you're not practicing it. I have been studying and reading. See, I will tell you a story about me, and then I'm going to move on to something else. I was raised in the Nation of Islam. When I was about 18, my mother said to me, you need to read Message to the Black Man. I don't need to read Message to the Black Man. I was born in the Nation. I know the teachers. Foolish. She gave me her copy of the book. And back then it was a hardback. Some were blue and some were red. I believe the original ones had a, it was a blue hardback with gold lettering. I think that was the original one. But that's the one she gave me. It wasn't until I was 21 years old that I sat down and started reading Message to the Black Man and realized at that moment that I had been missing out because I did not have a clue as to what I said I believed in. So we have to delve into and practice on all levels. See, we can't put ourselves in a box, as Queen Aziza just said. It's not in the building. The building is where we go to come together in camaraderie, build each other up, learn some things we don't know, but then we got to go out and spread to the community. How you going to save somebody sitting up there in a seat, clapping, talking about teach minister? Ain't happening. So, inshallah, and that's a statement, not a question. I pray that I've answered your question. Now, does anybody else want to say anything? Sister Marita, our dear sister out of San Francisco, either one of you want to say anything about that?
Just expound on, you know, what you were saying with the economic blueprint. You go a couple pages over, and those five tips are the best tips that you can, you know, that you can have for you, for building up, you know, getting ready for the nation, you know, recognizing the necessity for unity and pulling resources and stop criticizing everything that's black-owned and, you know, doing away with jealousy and, you know, and the last one with observing the operations of the white man, you know. Yes, some of them are successful, and we can learn a lot from them, you know. And he don't make any excuses for his failures. So, and we have to work as hard and in the same manner, you know. But most importantly, it starts with ourselves first. We have to want it, you know. We have to want to build a better nation for ourselves and for our future generations. We just can't have lip service. We can't. We gotta walk the walk. We just can't talk it anymore. You know, it's not getting us anywhere, and we can't be stagnant. And we have to keep it moving. So, and those five tips is something that, you know, that I think about, you know, a lot, you know, with putting together my business. So that was a good question, though. Thank you, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Queen Aziza.
I think everyone has answered his question profoundly, and only thing that I can say is, you know, I just continue to stay inspired and don't give up and do what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to do. You know, if you may not have all of the funds that you need, but get with like minds and start to build something for yourself. You know, you can't wait on a system of things to come into place, because our survival begins one person at a time. It takes each individual making a sound decision to get up and do for self and go through those channels that are necessary in order to get it done. So if one sister doesn't have the capital or everything that she needs to start a business, maybe she can get with 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 other sisters, and they can come together, pool their resources, and start to build. Once we start to build, then we can unify on a larger scale, but everything is local. The building is local. The building starts within. So first we have to start with our minds, our spirits. And then we have to use that level of determination and build ourselves up, or get small cluster groups and build together from that. you know, it's not going to come overnight. Even though I know the desire may be there, it's not just going to transfer hands where we're now going to be running Washington and then, you know, all the white people are the current governmental system is going to be pushed out. It's not that way because we're trying to create God's world, you know, the hereafter, but it starts person by person. So I just say stay encouraged, contribute to the economic blueprint of the Nation of Islam, and just start planning and continue to motivate yourself to build or get with others who desire to move in the same direction as you. So
that's it. And we have a question on the phone, I think. Area code 314, your mic is live.
Hi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Oh, I'm enjoying it. Yes, sir, it's Brother Robert. I am truly enjoying the show tonight. Now, I want to add to the listening audience in reference to what the sister just finished saying, we all can start our own businesses Every city in the United States pretty much more than likely has a flea market. A flea market, to rent a booth at the flea market is a very low cost to operate a business. You're looking at around anywhere between $18 to $25 a day. The reason I say a flea market, especially for people who are just starting businesses, it is the perfect practice ground for any aspiring entrepreneur. It also has a built-in clientele. You don't have to establish the clientele because the clientele is already there for you. All you have to do is have a product that you believe in and you think you can do it. Now, that may not be the case. You may believe in it and you may think that it will work, but you may get there and hopefully to your delight, it does work. But then you may find out that maybe that product was not the right product. Maybe it could be a many of different reasons. Maybe that market just wasn't the best place for it. Nevertheless, I said it was the perfect practice ground. Entrepreneurship is a practice. It's a working out. It's a workout. So you may not get it right the first time, and you may not get it right the second time. You may not get it right the third time. If you read the books of most successful people, they never made it big off their first effort, second effort, third effort. Most of your successful people, you hear about them in that particular one success, but you don't hear about all the other attempts that they made prior to that. So that's why, along with what I just said, you have to, in order to have a conversation with most of these successful people, you have to read their books. And that's how conversations with these people that are so, most of the time, out of touch with us in the physical. Pick up their book and read their book, and in that book, they'll tell you, they'll share with you their struggles. And so I just wanted to say that, especially about the flea market, because that's how I started. I actually started at a flea market over 20 years ago. And I used to ride by the flea market, and I saw those people at the flea market, and I thought that I used to say to myself, look at them peddlers over there. And I thought they were not making money. I know some people from those particular experiences that I've had at the flea market that have went on to be very, 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 very wealthy and very successful in business. So that's just one of the things that I can share of the many different things that I've experienced in my entrepreneurship workout. And I encourage anybody to never give up, to keep on trying, and don't worry about how it looks to anybody else that's looking at you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about if that particular ideal didn't work out as good as you would like for it to do. Keep on keeping on. Keep on pushing. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And we are starting to wind down. And so before we do finish up, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I want to go ahead and get the lineup in so that it's out there and anybody
can. We have one more question.
Oh, go ahead.
Brother Kareem. Sister Jackie wants to know about, is there anyone in the nation that has started along the lines of being a sovereign nation? Now, personally, I don't know.
I would have to answer that question and say I don't know either. If I'm understanding her question correctly, she's talking about becoming a sovereign, you know, as an individual. I mean, because I know individuals that I've talked to who are members of the Nation of Islam who are in that process. I know there's some personally, but I can't say that I know anybody that has established that as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean,
okay.
And we don't really have the time to go in depth into that particular thing. However, I'm sure she wouldn't mind. She's on Facebook. Contact Dr. or Sister Tissa Muhammad. She's on Facebook. That's who you'll find under Tissa. And contact her about that, if that's something you're interested in.
Okay, yes, sir. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's all the questions we're going to take right now.
That's what I'm saying. I would like for you to go ahead and give us the lineup because I want it to be archived so that anybody, when they download, they will hear the lineup so they'll know they need to tune in all these other 6 days.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay, to join us tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central for Disaster Preparedness with Brother Rudolph Muhammad and Sister Lachelle Muhammad. I don't know exactly what they're going to be talking about, but whatever it is, it's going to be life-saving, trust me. Join us Wednesday, 7 p.m. for DJ Black Season Friends, our hip-hop comedy show. And on Thursday, join me, 8 o'clock p.m., as we talk about courtship out of control. We're talking about videos, pictures, and social media. So we'll be on at 8 o'clock for that. And on Friday, join us with Student Minister James Muhammad with our live study group, Put on the New Man. And on Saturday, 8 o'clock, we're coming back with part two of Law Enforcement and Black Youth. And, of course, we are going to be welcoming Brother Jihad Amos Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida, and the crew of the BYC, as well as Officer James Smokey Phillips, who joined me last weekend. Deputy Sheriff of Harris County, Shannon Powell, is also going to join us. And community activist Derek C. Muhammad from my own home, Mosque 45, is going to join us on that subject as well. And then on Sunday, 6:30 p.m., join us for our new show with Brother Jamil Muhammad, What Must Be Done. And on Monday, next week, 8 o'clock p.m. Central, Brother Kareem, what is the topic?
The topic is closing the gap between Minister Farrakhan and the believers.
Oh. Okay.
You know I don't play around now. Got time for no silly stuff.
Okay, well, you heard it from the host himself. So join us Monday, closing the gap between Minister Farrakhan and the believers. Oh, I can't wait for that one. All praises due to Allah. All right, well, that's our lineup for the week. I just want to say once again, Sister Marina, I am so happy for you, Sister, on receiving your ex and your reciting on yesterday. All praises due to Allah. Again, welcome home. Love you so much. You are such a beautiful, beautiful sister, and thank you for joining our panel tonight. And we got a rule on Nation Building Network. You can come on here one time, but you can't just come on here one time. So we got to have you back sometime in the near future. So thank you so much. And I'm going to let Brother Kareem close us out.
That's right. Well, first and foremost, I do want to thank you, as always, Queen Aziza, for the opportunity to serve in this manner because, as we say, you know, if we're not serving, what's the point? I want to thank Sister Marita for joining us. Thank you so much. And congratulations also from me. I want to thank everyone in the listening audience. I want to thank everyone who asked a question or even thought of a question or had a comment, regardless of whether it was negative or positive. You know, it's about the participation on whatever level. We have discussed tonight the fall of America, and what we are hoping is that something that we've shared has sparked your interest, has caused you to think, to understand that, again, we are living in a place, in a time, where this system is not going to die. It literally has already died. Like I've said, the only thing that's holding it up is our belief in it and us doing that. However, if we are going to survive and even thrive in this time, we must practice what God has given us as a way out and as a way to him. As always, the thought is the act. The act is the fact. We either participate or we all dissipate. I want to leave you all as we came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome to Salam. And special shout out to Brother Gene X Gordon. Love you, black man. See you out there. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you both.